Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Currently, I'm coming to you from Pennsylvania instead of New Zealand, where most of the time I am, though I do spend a bit of time in Pennsylvania because of my wife Holly being from here. Anyway, this particular episode of the A Minute to Midnight show that I'm bringing you will have to be one of those ones that are only a trailer introduction on YouTube, and you'll have to go to aminutetomidnight.com or Rumble or BitChute or Apple Podcasts to get the full episode, because some of what I want to share in this episode I am pretty sure would trigger censors at YouTube, and likely they wouldn't let it stay up. So rather than risk that, please, if you want to hear the whole video, which I recommend you do, or the audio, go to our website, aminutetomidnight.com, Rumble, or BitChute, or Apple Podcasts. And please make sure you subscribe to our website and our various channels as well. So, first up, you know, most of our listeners will be familiar with the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and the UN Agenda 2030. We know about Schwab's vision for a transhumanist future where you'll own nothing and be happy, supposedly. You'll know about Agenda 2030 and the sustainable development push based on the boogeyman, alleged man-made climate change, and how we need to get the world to net zero carbon emissions in order to save the world from a climate catastrophe, supposedly. They at the UN tell us that scientists have a consensus that man's carbon emissions are causing the supposed climate catastrophe. But the reality is, it's just a consensus of scientific puppets who parrot the globalist agenda, while any dissenting scientists who think for themselves and do their own research, aside from the largely government and corporate funded massive funding for the sciences, those who research not blindly, well, they often find something completely different than what, you know, the establishment wants them to find. And instead of parroting the globalist agenda, the dissenting scientists who researched and argue for something different and who come to a different conclusion, such as man-made climate change is a lie, well, they are vilified and largely censored. We're being indoctrinated with the alleged need for a global digital identity and central bank digital currencies and ultimately a world government. So most of you will know that. But the beginnings of the global government already exist. And I think I'll actually stop the YouTube podcast here. Please go to hear the rest, go to one of the other places that I just mentioned to you previously. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism. I covered that in videos a year or two back, a reasonable amount, but I just want to bring your attention to this again because it is important. Now, the founder of the group is Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. She's married into the Rothschild dynasty. Her husband, who died in November last year, was Evelyn de Rothschild. He was very instrumental in the setting up of The Economist magazine. He was the Queen Elizabeth II's personal financial advisor, as well as an advisor to the Vatican. Interestingly, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of him with Prince Charles and him poking him in the chest, de Rothschild poking Prince Charles in the chest. Well, King Charles didn't actually go to the funeral of Evelyn de Rothschild, who died at 91, but he did send something along, you know, to say at the funeral, I believe. But it's interesting that he didn't actually go there. So whilst de Rothschild was a very powerful figure, his wife, Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, still is. So I want to read a bit of stuff just here and there and comment on it from Brandon Smith at altmarket.com. www.vatican.us. Pope Francis and the Vatican publicly aligned with the Council for Inclusive Capitalism in 2020, and one of the primary narratives of the CIC is that all religions must unite with the leaders of capital to build a society and an economy that is fair for all. You know, they always talk about everything being fair and inclusive and lifting up the standards of the poor, but that's not at all what this is about. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism is led by a core group of global leaders they refer to as the Guardians. Members of the CIC have included MasterCard, Allianz, DuPont, the UN, the Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association of America, CalPERS, BP, Bank of America, Johnson & Johnson, Visa, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, Mark Carney, the Treasurer of the State of California, and many more companies around the world. The list is extensive, but what it represents is a kind of corporate-led government with a congress of corporate representatives mixed with pliable political leaders. One of the top missions of the Council for Inclusive Capitalism has been to change our economic models to promote equity and inclusion. Hilariously, proponents of the CIC argue that too much wealth has been accumulated into the hands of too few people, and this proves that existing capitalism does not work, yet they are the very people that rigged the system to centralize that wealth into their hands. They aren't capitalists, they are an aristocracy. Do you really think that these people are going to build a whole new system that doesn't continue to benefit them? So now some stuff from an article that Brandon Smith wrote at altmarket.com, and it's called Rothschild Wants Merger Between Corporations, Governments and AI to Save Capitalism. I'll just be reading parts of this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And I'll make some comments along the way. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism is a physical body representing the action arm of the ESG concept. It is meant to create incentives and punishments for the business world based on their compliance with the values of globalism and woke socialism, as well as their submission to the climate agenda. The group is headed by Lady Linda Rothschild of the notorious Rothschild dynasty and has expanded to include an army of corporate partners, government partners, UN partners, and even the Vatican. A key component to the globalist agenda that is mentioned frequently is artificial intelligence, along with its supposed ability to upend everything in our society and economy forever. While the abilities of AI are highly overrated, the elites seem to think it's some kind of godlike apparatus that will remake the world. Lady de Rothschild engaged with the media recently to promote an interesting and revealing argument. AI, much like climate change, is quickly becoming yet another fabricated excuse for global centralization. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism, along with institutions like the World Economic Forum and the UN, have been asserting for the past few years that someone needs to step in to moderate AI so that no single government abuses its apparently unlimited power. In other words, problem, reaction, solution. The globalists create a problem out of thin air, then suggest it is a much greater boon or threat to humanity than it actually is, then they offer their services as fair and benevolent arbiters of the technology and its effects. Rothschild suggests it herself in the interview when she claims that capitalists will have to adjust their priorities over to social causes in the wake of AI. As stated before, it's just ESG in another form. The CIC and the Great Reset Agenda are nothing more than tools to entrench corporate and elitist power forever. And we can look at some other things, of course, how they've done that. We'll be looking at some of the COVID stuff shortly and the vaccine and so on. But I'll just continue with this aspect of it because it's all interlinked. They get to decide which companies thrive or die. They get to decide the social values of the next century. They get to dictate how the world's resources are utilized and who is allowed to access to them. And governments will ensure that they are protected from the rage of the people should the public become wise to their hostile takeover. The most insulting part is that anyone who criticizes or attacks this ideological invasion of our economic life will be accused of being a monster. After all, the CIC just wants to save humanity from itself, right? And haven't we heard pretty much the same thing from Klaus Schwab and Prince Charles, or now King Charles, and Guterres from the UN and so on, the same basic argument. If you want to stop them, you must be some kind of selfish villain that values individual freedom over common good. Well, this is the kind of argument they give you. But the bigger questions the globalists don't want you to ask, though, is what makes them qualified to determine the common good? Why is it assumed that they should be the arbiters of everything? Mr. Schwab, you know, a Bond villain and people like him. And Bill Gates and others, you know. Well, the globalists will assert that AI must become the de facto decision-making apparatus for human civilization. And now you see why Rothschild is so anxious to spearhead the creation of a global regulatory framework for AI. Whoever controls the functions of AI, whoever programs the software, eventually controls the world. All the while using AI as a proxy. If anything goes wrong, they can simply say it was AI that made the decision and not them. It's very clever, isn't it? It is the perfect shadow government, a technocratic Wizard of Oz, using the smoke and mirrors of an AI puppet to rule the planet, removing all accountability and displacing all rebellion. For how can the populace argue with or revolt against a faceless algorithm floating in the digital ether? And, you know, these same things, the algorithm and so on, they're using for censorship. The UN's pushing, the European Union pushing for control over the internet. You'll need a digital identity to be able to access the internet. You'll have to fit in a framework of what they allow you to say, or you'll be censored or taken down. You know, and then they'll tie all this in with the ESG scores and CBDCs and so on. So basically, they're putting all these pieces into play ahead of, I think there'll be a global financial crash, amongst other things, and then they'll have the system basically ready to put in place. That's their goal. And we look at people like, you know, the World Economic Forum has an advisor called Yuval Noah Harari. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a godless homosexual atheist. And he said, for example, the artificial intelligence revolution is beginning to create the useless class. As computers outperform humans in more and more tasks, they are likely to push them out of more and more jobs. And then the danger is that you will have millions of, even billions of people who don't have any economic value and therefore they don't have any political power. As Henry Kissinger would have once said, useless eaters, in other words. So another of Harari's quotes, one possibility is this creation of a new massive class of useless people. Another possibility is a division of humankind into different biological castes, with the rich being upgraded into virtual gods and the poor being downgraded to this level of useless people. You see, this is what the elite want. They can get rid of a lot of the people that won't be needed to serve them as they pursue their, you know, ambitions to become gods through transhumanism and so on. Anyway, kind of moving on from that a bit, you know, part of this whole climate agenda is where climate change agenda that we're supposedly facing is the whole sustainable development and renewable energy, and we know all of that, and transitioning the world into electric vehicles. You know, but really, you've got to remember the end goal is they don't want you to have any sort of vehicle, not a petrol engine vehicle or diesel or electric, but they have to do it in stages. But the end goal is you'll be happy and own nothing. Remember, that's what the World Economic Forum said. If you go back to even as far as the 1770s with the Illuminati and Adam Weishaupt's original precepts for the Illuminati, one of the things they want is the abolition of private property and so forth. And so they're not going to want you driving cars or owning your own home. But it's interesting because it's not all going that smoothly in some ways for them. And people that should be waking up to this agenda should be able to go, hang on a second, this isn't really working. This is not what they are telling you. For example, strangesounds.org, their website, had an article recently, "Too Cold for Electric Vehicles. Brand new electric buses paralyzed miserably in Oslo, Norway because of freezing temperatures. Winter is here and with it the freezing cold, and now public transport is also paralyzed. Oslo's brand new fleet of electric buses is not designed for these temperatures. Their batteries are failing miserably in the icy cold. Oslo wants to make local public transport completely emission-free. This is why 183 new electric articulated buses were delivered in April 2023. The 100 million euro contract for this was signed last year, and the buses are to run on Oslo's busiest routes. The new buses from Solaris were highly praised in advance and everything went well during the summer, but now, with the onset of winter, the weaknesses of the electric vehicles are becoming apparent. Although a range of 250 kilometres is actually advertised, the buses sometimes simply break down." And we are going to see more and more of this type of thing with electric vehicles. Because you have to have the infrastructure for a start to charge them. And how many of you have seen pictures and things or seen them in person? Diesel-powered charging stations to generate electricity to charge electric vehicles. Well, you know, how long are they going to be able to do that? So now I want to just move on to another one of the things that, you know, we've all been aware of, the COVID stuff. And I'll cover a few different angles of this. Firstly, I want to mention an article from Zero Hedge, which is behind the biggest nursing exodus of 40 years. In 40 years. A 40-year record high of 100,000 nurses left their jobs in 2021, according to a study published in Health Affairs Forefront in April 2022. Several nurses who spoke to the Epoch Times largely blamed the exodus on the corporatisation of healthcare and the vaccine mandates imposed on nurses. The nursing shortage had long been a problem before COVID-19, when hospitals began operating like corporations instead of as a refuge for the sick. Nurses became disillusioned with the occupation, nurse Irene Ricks told the Epoch Times. Then came the pandemic, and with it a slew of new requirements. Not only were nurses having to take on huge loads of patients, but they were also being told to do things they didn't feel right about, Mrs. Ricks said, or Miss Ricks, I don't know, Ms. Then they were being told they had to be vaccinated or they will lose their job. The vaccine mandate was a straw that broke the camel's back, Ms. Ricks said. It made nurses quit or retire in droves. Suddenly, the entire healthcare system turned on its head and said, the biggest thing is not to take care of people, but to comply. And we are willing to put patients at risk, because if you don't comply, you're going to be terminated. Now, how many of us, I'm sure we all know people that had this scenario faced on them. I personally know nurses that was terminated because she didn't take the vaccine. And a lot of other people in various other professions, it was the same thing. And, you know, you looked at families being divided because they weren't, you know, either vaccine supporters, they didn't take the vaccine, or the ones that did take the vaccine didn't want to have anything to do with them and wouldn't allow them to go to their Christmas parties and so on and so forth. Well, we all saw tons of that, right? Well, that was a very interesting test case for the the globalists, really, because they saw how easy it was to manipulate people and get people through fear to comply with what they wanted you to do. And then they, of course, introduced the vaccine, the useless vaccine, the vaccine that didn't really help anyone. And apparently 13 billion odd doses have been administered around the world. And how many of us, I'm sure all of us, have heard or know people that died soon after taking the vaccine. And, of course, it didn't help stop the transmission of COVID, didn't stop people from getting sick from COVID. It was all a great big sham, and they were able to manipulate so many people into taking it, including boosters. Probably the best crime, almost, of the, you know, that's ever been committed, the most cover-your-tracks one, because so many of the people that died, you can't directly attribute to the vaccine. And that's very interesting, because some died pretty quickly, some die slower, some people's conditions, their cancers return, their various other things, you know, they have heart problems they never had before, and then they die of something other than the vaccine. But many of us believe that the vaccine was what triggered those things. And we're going to see more and more of it. I mean, you're still seeing sports stars dropping on the field and so on, and young people dying and various other people dying that shouldn't have been. Well, 70% of deaths from the Pfizer vaccine in Japan reported within 10 days of the jab. This is a study, and you can find this at Zero Hedge as well. Around 70% of people who died in Japan after receiving a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine lost their lives in the first 10 days following the jab, according to a recent study. The peer-reviewed Japanese study published in the Curious Journal on December 7th looked at the association between Pfizer COVID-19 vaccination and deaths within 10 days of the vaccination. See, but that's just the people that they're attributing the vaccine to being the killer of. But what this doesn't do is look at all the other deaths from people that the vaccine could have contributed to, but they hide, because they come out as something else, and maybe not straight away, like months or even years down the track. So it's almost a perfect crime, depopulation, without being able to directly attribute it to something that you're not even allowed to talk about, and health professionals are not allowed to talk about. Interestingly, an article at vigilantnews.com says this: Italian health minister under investigation for murder for concealing COVID-19 vaccine deaths. He knew the shots were killing people and gave orders to local health authorities to conceal deaths and serious side effects. Former Italian health minister Robert Speranza is under investigation for homicide after emails reveal that from the very start of the vaccinations, he knew the shots were killing people and gave orders to local health authorities to conceal deaths and serious side effects in order to reassure Italian citizens of their safety and to not jeopardize the vaccination campaign, reports InfoWars contributor Greg Reese in a viral X post shared by Alex Jones. Now, whatever your opinion on Alex Jones is, you know, I don't want to get into that. But anyway. And Dr. Merkler, in an article on Mercola.com, says, Pharma food, biotech on your plate. While fake meat is touted as a solution to save the planet and end world hunger, fake meats are not about your health or the environments. They are a tool to phase out farmers and ranchers and replace them with ultra-processed food product that can be controlled by patients. Remember that if government and corporate entities are able to take control of the food supply via fake food, they also control the people. So this is just another aspect of this whole agenda, using climate change nonsense as an excuse to have to do this. It's nonsense. Lab-grown meat may one day represent 80% of or more of the meat consumed worldwide, a dramatic departure from the way humans have eaten for centuries. Speaking with Catherine Austin Fitz of the Solari Report, Dutch investigative journalist Els van Hamelen reports on the tsunami of fake foods being rolled out by the biotech industry and what this means for human health. Van Hamelen also describes a war against Dutch farmers that has emerged, threatening to push them off the land they farmed for generations. As small and mid-sized farms close their doors, governments and corporate entities can scoop up the land, leaving consumers with no choice but to eat fake lab-grown, animal-free foods they're offering. See, that's part of it again. Remember I said the abolition of private property was one of Adam Weishaupt's and the original Illuminati's goals, and then Karl Marx parroted the same thing in the Communist Manifesto. This is all part and part of it, parcel of it. They want people off the land. They want to control you. They want to control the land. They want to control what you eat. They want to control everything. And they have this new climate, you know, catastrophe boogeyman as their excuse, as one of the reasons why they need to do it. Now, this brings me back to, again, the vaccines. Barry Young was a whistleblower from New Zealand. I'm sure you've heard about him, many of you, by now. I'm going to quote some stuff from the burningplatform.com, which I will be honest, I've been kind of disappointed in the biasedness in the Middle East war that the Burning Platform's been promoting in some of their articles. I'm quite disappointed, as I say. Very anti-Israel, no balance. But this article, because they have various different people that write for the Burning Platform, I think this article is actually very good. And it's called Data and the Dehumanization in the Modern Era. Barry Young, that's the whistleblower from New Zealand, found himself in a challenging situation because of a job he was contracted for. He had gained access to a database which clearly proved the COVID vaccines were killing people. In turn, he had to wrestle with the decision of whether he wanted to stay silent and be directly complicit in those deaths or publicize the data and be severely punished for doing so. He eventually chose to leak it and gave an interview to accompany that leak. Now, as a New Zealander, the New Zealand government is actually put an injunction or whatever on spreading any of this data. So it's illegal to spread the data. You've got to ask why. I mean, Barry Young, he was the guy that designed the whole database for the health authorities in New Zealand. So he's not some outsider. He's the guy that was contracted to design the whole database. So he was shocked by what he saw, but then they've accused him of stealing it and having unlawful access to it and so on, and yet he's the guy they contracted to do it, the database. But I'm not going to present the actual data because, it's an offence to do so. It's ridiculous, but it is. Okay, so anyway, an interview aired on November 28th and on November 30th, Steve Kirsch released his data. 2 days later, December 2nd, police surrounded Barry's house and arrested him in New Zealand. The next day, he was formally arraigned in court and charged with accessing a computer system for dishonest purposes, which carries a maximum penalty of 7 years in prison. In response to all of this, New Zealand's government, this is a new government, the Deputy Prime Minister, by the way, who had campaigned on saying he was going to look at the whole COVID thing and look after the people. Well, he's been totally silent so far. Surprise, surprise. So anyway, in response to all of this, the New Zealand government chose the only option available to them. They did their best to censor Barry's data, which is essentially futile at this point, discredit his conclusions by claiming he was not qualified to analyse it, double down on the safety of the vaccines, attack anyone for scaring the public into not vaccinating, and lament the epidemic of disinformation and conspiracy theorists. APA, the CEO of New Zealand's National Health Service, said, "Misinformation about vaccines was particularly concerning at a time when COVID-19 cases were high. Rates are going up. We're seeing hospitalizations, so we really want to keep promoting to New Zealanders who are eligible for COVID boosters to get them. The data seems to be large amounts of vaccine-related information and appeared to have been anonymized," APA said. "Analysis was continuing, but So far, no NHI numbers or personally identifiable information was believed to have been released. That's interesting, isn't it? Yet they're still prosecuting him, even though there was no disclosure of individuals or anything. One of the most common excuses governments around the world have used to avoid releasing data on the COVID-19 vaccinations is that they don't want to violate people's medical privacy, and that this right to medical privacy must be protected under all circumstances. Prior to the data being released to researchers, Barry made a point to anonymize the data by giving each person a random medical record number and then randomizing the order of each remaining field in the data set. This maintained the database statistics, for example, the average time from vaccination to death, the average mortality rate for each age group, and the timing of when deaths occurred, but prevented the individual entities from being linked to a specific person. Now, if you haven't seen the data, basically it showed that in some places, 1 in 4 people that had been vaccinated at specific vaccination clinics had died. It's a 25% or a quarter of the people. And also it showed how in New Zealand, over past years, very few days were there 120 deaths in New Zealand. There was the odd one, like after the Christchurch earthquake, which there, I think, was like 236 deaths or something. But some years and no 120 deaths in one day in New Zealand. Following the COVID-19 vaccinations, Barry Young's database showed you that practically every day after that, 120 plus people died in New Zealand. So that's a lot of excess deaths. What'll happen to Barry and her, the court case, we'll have to wait and see. But the point is, they're still trying to shut down the truth. And people like us are called disinformation agents and conspiracy theorists. You know, anything but face the truth and look at things, it's easier just to shout people down. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, so we don't want to hear from you. That's just the way they do it. So anyway, the move towards global central bank digital currencies and digital identities and ESG scores and all that stuff, it's going on and on. And folks, we need to make it clear in our own minds at this point where we stand and what we will accept and not accept. If you go down the slippery slope, you'll end up going the full way down. The Bible tells us about a system that's going to be set up in the end times. Revelation 13, for example, with a mark of the beast that if you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast, but if you do take the mark of the beast, you're damned for eternity. So it is not worth it. Definitely not worth it. If you get on the slippery slope now, you'll probably go all the way to that. So it's time to stand. It's time to read your Bibles. It's time to look at what the Bible actually tells us is going to happen in these end days and make a stand based on your convictions regarding it, because it's coming to pass rapidly. And I think 2024, we're going to see a lot of quick movement further down the track. Unless God intervenes, basically, they'll be taking us much further towards CBDCs and digital identities and so on in the next year. Expect a global financial crisis, stock market crash and all that very likely to happen in 2024. As well as the war situation. War is always a great disguise for economic failures and what's really going on in the economy. The US economy's in trouble. The Chinese economy's in even probably worse trouble. But we know these things have to happen to bring in the beast system that the Bible talks about. But we also know that Jesus will return at the end and that our hope is in Jesus Christ. It should be rather than in these worldly systems. Shouldn't be in politicians. It shouldn't be in some guy who's going to come back and be the next president or whatever and save you from whatever, when that man was the guy that introduced the vaccine. It's called the father of the vaccine. I'm talking about Donald Trump. New Zealand, we shouldn't be expecting our politicians, Winston Peters or anyone else for that matter, to be a knight on a shining horse coming to your rescue. The fact of the matter is the governments of the world are pretty much sold out to this system, to the United Nations, to the World Economic Forum, and ultimately to Lucifer, who is behind these institutions. I've covered it before, how much Luciferianism there is in the whole United Nations and has been right from the word go. I won't go back on that right now and recover it, but if you want to research it, it's all there. The information's out there. It's even in some of my videos. So folks, the bottom line is get your lives right with the Lord now, with Jesus Christ. Make sure you're saved. Do some preparation. We're not going to be able to escape all these things that are coming, but I still believe in preparation, physical preparation, where possible. Trust God, you know, to show you what to do. And do it. Don't just do nothing. Ask God what you should personally do and then action it. So anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to cover in this video. Please, as I say, make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. I've also got articles on there, and we'll be having more articles being posted on the website as well as videos. So you won't find them on channels. You have to find the articles on our website. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. I want to say a great big thank you to the people that do donate and help us keep afloat. It's very much appreciated. And if anyone wants to join in and help us, you can do that by visiting aminutetomidnight.com and finding the donations page or other options on the website, you know, where you can find how to donate. So lastly, the music used, I write, play and record any music that gets used in our videos as well. So that's it for this one. God bless. Stay safe, keep your eyes on the Lord, and God willing, we'll be back with another video and audio podcast in a few days' time.